There's something I've been thinking about I wanted to do all morning long, and I'm really not in very good shape to do it. But I want all of you young people, all you boys and girls, especially Richard, I want you to think about and help me sing a song from where you are. Richard and Daniel and all the rest of you. And I hope you will think about that song as we sing it. Most of y'all are familiar with it. And it begins by saying, Jesus loves me. Let's sing that together.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
I want one more verse.
Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away our sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Thank you, everybody that partook of that song. I'd like to talk to you this morning about Jesus loves me. About the fact that I and you know that he loves you. The reason you know that he loves you is because the Bible tells you so. That's one reason. Another reason that you know it is because you can feel it on the inside of you. You have a warm feeling when you think about Jesus and his love. We're coming into a season of the year whenever we as a nation celebrate a time that we call Easter. That particular season of the year, religiously speaking, could more properly be called Passover. Passover. I had when I was a little boy coming up, I had a rabbit one time. And that rabbit had some little rabbits. And as they began to grow up, my mom and daddy told me that we were going to eat those rabbits. And sure enough, they did cook one of them. I'd been eating chicken all my life. Can't tell much difference in the taste of them. But you know what? I just couldn't hardly eat that little rabbit. Because I had such a love, such a devotion for that little rabbit. But let me tell you something. A rabbit has nothing to do, religiously speaking, with Easter or with the Passover. Rabbits are a tradition, they being very fertile, very prolific in bringing forth young, are symbolic of fertility. And we speak of them sometimes, bringing Easter eggs, which we older folks know they don't. They don't do that. If your children are going to find any Easter eggs out in the backyard, you better go put them out there yourself ahead of time so that they can go out and gather them up. I just want to get a little bit of a scene set here for might. The song that we sang said, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus took a Passover. Now, you talk about the little rabbits. There's another little animal. And if you've ever had the privilege of possessing one, I'm quite sure that your heart become knit with it, and that you hated to give it up if it ever come, and that's a little lamb. A little larger than a rabbit, but got such soft fur. And it's so beautiful and so meek, and it's so easy for you to learn to love it, that indeed you'd hate to give that little animal up too. Hundreds of years ago, there was a nation of people that lived quite a bit differently to what you and I live today. They had their own milk cow. They had a cow that provided for them some milk. They had some sheep, and they would raise those sheep, and they would take the wool off of the sheep, shear them, and they would make clothing with the wool. Whenever it come time for them to kill one of those sheep, they would take the flesh of that sheep and they would eat it. And this was a very, very important animal to them, because it not only provided them wool to keep them warm in the wintertime, but there was another little animal called a goat. And I've done popped into a question now that I don't even know the answer, but there's one fellow back there could tell me. I've heard about drinking goat's milk, but I never did hear about drinking sheep milk. Did human beings ever consume sheep milk? Anybody know? H.J., are you hearing me? I bet you, have you ever known of anybody drinking sheep's milk? All right, I'm 66 years old and have never had that question come up before in my life. That's a sheep raiser back there, though. And he knows a great deal about the habits of sheep. But these people who had a few sheep and a cow and maybe a donkey or maybe a horse, Those animals were very essential to their livelihood. God, but before Jesus was incarnate, before Jesus was a son, God told those people one time, he said, now, every one of you, every family, you take a lamb. You take a special lamb. A beautiful lamb. One that doesn't have any blemishes in it. One that doesn't have a broken leg, or a spot. You take the very best lamb that you've got in your flock, and on this special diet or special time, you put that little lamb up in a pen. And you keep him in that pen for 4 days. And then on the fourth day at evening, you kill that lamb and you eat that lamb and you take part of the blood of that lamb, and you've got a door called a doorpost in the mantle. There's a doorpost in the mantle over the top part of it there. You take a part of that blood of that lamb, and you strike it, or you take and wipe it, the way you'd put it. They were supposed to get something they called hyssop, which was a kind of a weed. And you take that and you wipe that blood on the side of that door and on the top of it. And then when you get that done, you be sure that you go into the house. All your little boys and all your little girls and mama and daddy, everybody, you go inside that house and don't you go out of that house for that entire night. Because a very, very tragic thing, we might call it, but it was God's design, it was God's purpose, I can't find the word I want, but nevertheless, God told them that every house in all of Egypt the firstborn of that household is going to die in this night. Well, now, I know that I'm just getting so big here. There's many things I want to tell you about. This was God's wrath being poured out upon a fellow whose name was Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a cruel king. Pharaoh was building great cities using slave labor. And those slaves that Pharaoh was using were particular or special people to God's heart. And they began to cry to God. They began to pray. They began to look up to God and say, Lord, why are we in this state? Why are we having to continue in this condition? And he heard their cries. And he went and found a man by the name of Moses and gave him some instruction about, I'm going to send you over here to take my people out of this land, where they are being used as slaves. I'm going to send you over there for that purpose. And so he went over there, and after a while, we come to a point where this particular night, that the Lord said, every household, now, you take your lamb, you slay that lamb, and they were to prepare or cook the flesh of that lamb, and they were to eat that lamb in that particular night. And that night, as it come along, it happened just exactly like the Lord told him he's going to. Every house, as whenever the destroyer came over, every house that did not have blood on the mantle and on the doorpost, the firstborn of that house was slain that night. There was much crying, there was much lamenting, there was much mourning. But don't you know that those people who had obeyed God, those people who had gone into the house and applied the blood of that lamb to their doorpost, don't you know that they had reason to rejoice? Because that was the salvation. Nothing other than blood would save the firstborn of that household. And I never have been in such deep water in my life. There's many things I want to tell you about this morning in connection with that. But I'll just hop on and go. The Lord told him, after that was over with, he said, now this is going to be the beginning of months for you. And he said, every year at this same time, upon this same day of the month, you keep the feast of unleavened bread. 7 days. Now, what are you talking about? You keep a feast in remembrance of the fact that there was a time when there was a lot of people destroyed in the land, but there wasn't anybody in your house taken. Not a soul. Not one soul was taken out of your household. Now you celebrate this and you rejoice in this. You eat that lamb every time. Every year you go ahead and kill a lamb at the feast of the Passover. And you eat that lamb and you rejoice in you have been delivered from. What you was delivered from, or your nation was delivered from back hundreds of years ago. You continue to do that thing. Now, I pray that the Lord will be merciful to me and at least let me be able to talk long enough to get what I want to tell you this morning. Will you pray for me and pray to the Lord also? But, you know, I don't see very far. I don't understand very much. You know, God might have a purpose in shutting me up completely. Not be able to say a thing. May God be praised. Whatever happens. Now this nation of people that were delivered from that bondage were carried into a special land. That land they were carried into was called Canaan. And when that there must be a sacrifice still made, Jesus loved me to the extent that he dwelt for 3.5 years in the body. And he taught, he did miracles, he healed people, preached, and he prayed in that body. Jesus used that body, my friend, and he tells him here, but here he says, you take and you eat this. Now then, there's a whole big bunch of what the mystical body of Christ is, but I'm just going to stay with the physical body of Christ primarily this morning. And I want you to know that that body of Christ only lived 33 years upon this earth. And it only preached, he only preached 3.5 years. But he was a busy man while he was preaching. He was performing miracles. He was teaching doctrine. He was instructing people. He was casting out devils. He was putting to silence, those who were of the contrary part. Jesus was doing that. But nevertheless, and we find him saying, I am the bread of life, as we read over in the book of John. But nevertheless, they said, he said upon this occasion, he said, you take and eat this, because this is my body. This is my body. And he gave it to the disciples and said that. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood. This is my blood. What was he giving them? He was giving them wine. That was their drink in that day and time. Most of those people drank wine. Just like you at the table. They certainly didn't use it to get drunk on. That was a sin back there then. It's still a sin now for you and me to take and drunk any kind of beverage and become inebriated with it. But nevertheless, it was a symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that little lamb that everybody took? Everybody killed it. Everybody put the blood over their door. And everybody was delivered, everyone saved, if you please, the firstborn of their family, because they did precisely what God told them to do. But now then we find Jesus here upon this occasion, as he had taken this emblem of his blood. And he said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, I'll not drink henceforth of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Jesus has spoken of or given them to eat that which symbolized his body. He gave them to drink that which symbolized his blood. And we find Jesus saying one place, and sometimes this gets confusing when you think about it. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. What are you talking about? Not the literal blood and body. We're not cannibals. But except you see from a spiritual discernment, except you see that body that walked the shores of Galilee and the streets of Jerusalem, that body that did all of those wonderful miracles, fed the multitude with a few loaves and fishes, that one that taught in parables, except you see that Jesus Christ, my friend, as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, you don't have any life in you. Well, you say, I know I'm alive. You don't be sure here, pinch yourself. Say, ouch, I'm alive. I can tell. I can feel it. Not talking about that kind of life. He's talking about that spiritual life. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Except you rejoice in that. Jesus did three things. I said I want to tell you about He gave them bread. He gave them wine. This bread represents my body, he said. My body was given in service. I lived for you. That's my message. That Jesus says, I lived for you. I healed for you. I cast out devils for you. I preached my own everlasting gospel for you. I taught my disciples for you. My body was used for you. My body was given for you. But not only was my body given over a period of 3.5 years in service to you, I don't think Jesus ever did anything during his ministry except the things that pleased his Father. I don't think he spent any of his time in foolish jesting, doing those things that were inconvenient. Y'all just wait a minute. Never had such a bundle of information in my life that I wanted to share with you, and now I can't. Well, I want to leave that one thing alone. Maybe I'll share it with you some other time. But I have been made aware. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to say it anyhow. I have been made aware. And I think God is the one that made me aware of it. That I have not used my body as I should. I haven't measured up as I should. I've used it for frivolous, for foolish, for things other than the service of God and the praise of God. I've promised God before that I was going to do better. Turned out a liar every time. But I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see the one that loved you. I want you to see one that his body was indeed filled with the Holy Ghost. And he always did the things that pleased his heavenly Father, our Father, my Father which is in heaven. Jesus lived and taught, preached, and he did it for you. Well, I said a while ago he didn't preach for 3.5 years. That's true, as far as his public ministry was concerned. But I remember that at the age of 12, when he had gone up to Jerusalem, what for? For this feast we're talking about. At the age of 12, he went with mom and daddy up there. And you know, they got lost, or he got lost from mom and daddy. Got separated from them. And whenever they finally come back together, mama got after him and said, "Hey, son, what do you mean doing this to me?" He said, "Don't you understand, mama? I've got to be about my father's business. I've got to be a..." Who was his father? Well, Joseph was standing right there. Joseph was concerned just the same as Mary was. But he was talking about, and they understood that he's talking about, my heavenly Father. I've got to be about my Father's business. There's three things I wanted to talk to you about, and I haven't got to very many of them yet. Oh, he said, upon this occasion, this is my body. This is a representation of my body. And I want you disciples to know that this body has been used in the service of God. It's been used to honor God. Now then, after he had done that, he took the cup And he said, he gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink you all of it. Every one of you partake of this. Every one of you partake of this cup. What for? For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the many for the remission of sins. That's just what it's for. You do that. Jesus lived for you and for me. Then Jesus did something else for you and me. Jesus died for you and for me. Jesus being a human being like you and me, the humanity of Jesus didn't want to die any more than you don't want to go out here and die. But the divinity of Jesus said it's got to be done. And he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus lived for you. Jesus died for you. The reason he died for you, remember that house back over in Egypt? They killed the little lamb. They put the blood over there. Jesus died for you and for me because we were dead in trespasses and in sin. And the blood, the efficacy, the effectiveness of the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart by the Holy Spirit. And it has given you new life. You are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus lived for you. Jesus died for you. He died. Yes, he was willing to. He did that. And he rejoiced to see the accomplishment of his death. Even before he died that death, he saw the travail of his soul. It's what Isaiah said. That's the way he said it. And he was satisfied. Jesus loved me. This I know because the Bible tells me so. The little ones to him belong. They're weak, but he's strong. I'm one of those little ones. You're one of those little ones. This is not a children's song. This is a song for Grandpa and Grandma. This is a song with much profound truth contained in it. Jesus lived for you. Jesus preached for you. Jesus healed for you. Jesus taught by parables for you. Jesus cast out devils for you. Jesus fed the multitude for you. Then Jesus shed his blood for you. Jesus died. Jesus died for you. And that's the time of the year that we're approaching is a time that we celebrate and rejoice in the fact that Jesus died for us. Jesus indeed did die for us. But before he died and before he hung upon the cross, the third thing that I want you to notice, you might wonder how I get this one in. But at the time that he broke the bread, gave him, said, eat all of this. All of you eat of this. Either way you want to read it. And the time that he gave him the wine and said, this is my blood. Supper being ended, this little private worship service. They had been back and looking back and thanking God for his great deliverance. And now here the greater deliverance is about to be manifest. That this was a busy time. This was an important time. And supper being ended, Jesus having loved his own, he loved him unto the end. Supper being ended, the Lord laid aside his garments. He girded himself with a towel, and he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe him with the towel wherewith he was girded. Peter said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, you're not going to wash my feet. the Lord said, if I don't, you won't have any part with me. He said, well, Lord, if that's the case, not only wash my feet, but my head and my hands also. Why am I bringing this in? All three of these things, my friend, were mentioned. All three of these things happened in that little private room. That little room where there's only 12 apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. And before it's all over with, there wasn't but 11 apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not go into that part of it. But nevertheless, at the same time that he celebrated the Passover past, that was past. Yes, he brought their attention to that Passover that was just about to take place. Just before he went to the cross, my friend, just before that he was betrayed, he gave them that bread and that wine. And then he poured water into a basin and he washed the disciples' feet with the water that he had poured into the basin. And he sat down after doing that. I believe, the best way I can tell from reading that, I believe that Jesus himself washed the feet of every one of those disciples. Then he sat down and he said, you call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, for so am I. That's what I am. But he said, if I, and then your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do unto it to one another as I have done unto you. Then he said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Jesus lived for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus gave you an example of service one to another. Jesus gave you instruction to believe his gospel and to follow in his precepts. Jesus did all these things for you. And now we come to the thought of the fact that Jesus died. Jesus did die on the cross. But he arose again. He arose again. And I want to give you boys and girls a mathematical question. I want to give you a mathematical question. I want you to figure out something for me. Well, Easter Sunday's coming up pretty soon. I want you to do this for me. I want you to figure out how you can get 3 days and three nights between Friday night and Sunday morning. I want you to figure on a calendar. Look at a calendar. And see how you can get 3 days and three nights between Friday night and Sunday morning. How many nights, how many days and nights can you get between that? That's all I'm going to say about that. I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells you. I tell you. Mama told you. We sing songs and it says that. Jesus not only used his body and his blood, but he also used that body to teach us humility and service one to another. Jesus washed his disciples' feet to give them an example. And I like what one of the brethren said at our communion service. I've forgotten now who it was, but they said, may we wash the disciples' feet every day. He didn't mean literally do that, but may we in humility and in service and in love, may we live at the feet of our brethren and our sisters as Jesus did. And may it be our joy to feel the presence of the Lord as we worship him from time to time. I want to thank you for your kind attention. I've done the very best I could. I kept saying, Lord, let my voice clear up. He didn't do it. But I'm still going to praise him because I could stand here. And I could at least say a little something. Jared, you come up here, sir, and lead a song. All right, we'd appreciate it.